All right. Ooh. You guys ready for this? This is weird. Well, welcome to Hotbox. It's usually weird. It's gonna get weirder. It's only me. My little trifecta, our little Cosa Nostra here at the Hotbox. They both needed an evening, so I figured we should still at least try to keep it, keep Hotbox in everybody's hearts once a week. So, Mindy, Cassie, I hope you guys are listening. I miss you. I can't even sit in Mindy's seat. That's how up each other's asses we are here in the Hotbox, is that I feel like if I sit in the seat that and take the mic that Mindy always takes, it's like blasphemy. It's not where I sit.
I'm here with you, Mary.
You are here with me. You're holding it down.
Don't forget about me.
Jeremy, I would never forget about you, especially not since you're in the second box, but still an important box.
Box number two, right.
Box number two. But they're the only two boxes in here, so yeah. Well, the pretty weird weekend that we had, a little Saturday adventure.
Yeah.
Some Skid Row Studios adventure making happened. I try to always have good weekends. I really do. But this week, I try. I don't know if anybody out there knows me. You know that I'm at least giving it a go to make sure my weekends don't suck.
You're always up for a good weekend.
I'm always up for a good weekend. So yeah, so on Saturday, me and my sister and one of her roomies, Gina, the three of us went to Burbank, which isn't really a stretch. I went to school out there. So, Burbank, it wasn't like Burbank was the destination, but it was.
You were quite offended when the bartender asked if you were from out of town.
Yeah. We showed up there already on the shittier side of, well, I did. I mean, I showed up there, after a few drinks because I wasn't driving. But we went to the bar at the Marriott by the airport and proceeded to have a couple more. And I get loud. And I get very loud and I do weird voices and get annoying kind of, I guarantee that I do. But the bartender asked me, yeah, like, is there you from out of 10? I was like, no, all annoyed. And it's not even like, I'm not even from Burbank specifically. I was actually in Burbank and I lived there all through like my high school years. So
that's the thing that only happens though in towns where there's tourists.
Where there's tourists and where there's a lot of people that are from out of town. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true. But it was still funny, especially just because it's like I wanted to interview people there or at least take some pictures or I don't know, like check out the shit they had on their tables. But it just seemed like one of those things where it was like, maybe go somewhere else to have a good time this once. So the bar worked for a while.
So dudes that are gay that are into comic books do not like you.
No, and I found that out.
Or your sister or Gina.
No, because I mean,
they were pissed.
They were pissed, and it was funny because because we had this, for those of you playing along, we had a Skid Row booth there, but it was one of the other shows, Awkward Conversations, that was pretty much running it. I still wanted to go, and so I still, got signed up online, did the registration or whatever and stuff. And so when I went, I went with Nicole and Gina, and yeah, it was like, we met you there. I mean, you're already there. But I was trying to tell them that, I had tried to put a plus one, or I can't even remember, something about a plus one with the press pass that I had. And I feel like it wasn't even that he didn't want to help. It's that he was just not going to help. Like he wasn't trying to let us in. It's like, no, this is our fucking thing. Like,
yeah. So that
was weird.
That was very strange off the bat because it was just like, no, we created these rules, and we're not going to waver from these rules. And,
but you're like looking around and you're like, okay.
Because what I had done is I had asked for a press pass and I put you down as my press pass guest plus one, whatever.
Right.
And you ended up applying for your own press pass and then you had a plus one as well.
Because I figured
so
at least
logically,
Nicole would go.
That should have been enough for us to get Nicole and Gina into the.
Well, and not convention. Only that, if you put it into perspective, it was. It's the lobby or the convention hall or whatever you want to call it of the Burbank Airport Marriott. Like, let's be real. It wasn't even like at the Hilton. Like, so when you're being told like, well, we can't let them in, they have to pay, they actually have to pay admission, which was $30. Nobody wanted to be doing that just because it's Saturday night and it's not going to be going on that long. you could see everything though with like the double doors open. Like all you had to do was look past the guy not letting you in, and you could pretty much walk the convention with your eyeballs in like a complete square. And so it was, it didn't seem as, I just didn't know why it was being like, it was so, what's the word? Like, it's not like we were just trying to get like a bunch of people in willy nilly. It was more like,
well,
you know,
look at it from this perspective. I'll play devil's advocate a little mm-hmm. bit. Maybe the convention didn't do as well as they had hoped.
Mm.
And it turned into a money issue. And basically the head guy's like, any excuse you can have to charge somebody, do it.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
We're not getting as much foot traffic as we had hoped.
Yeah. Well, also, too, I mean, it's, I like it was.
But we cheated and won anyway.
Oh, we still won. We still prevailed. Yeah, yeah. No, Nicole and Gina, they just used the two of the girls that were already there's little press passes just to get into the doors. But yeah, it was great. We got to like have a little smoke break with that weird cat. There was like a cat in the parking lot.
Oh yeah. I think we were in the employee like
yeah, like where they take their lunches take their 15s.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Burbank's was like is such a town where like probably every alleyway or like stupid park in that place, like I've probably like tried to like, you know, be smoking or drinking like when I was a lot younger. So anytime I'm back there, it's still like I remember going to a park and like literally immediately wanting to like smoke and having to be like, oh yeah, there's kids around. It's not the right time to be smoking at a Burbank park. Go to your car.
So how long did you live in Burbank?
I lived there. I got there right when I turned 14 and started ninth grade there. And then I moved when I was 20. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, or no, I think I was still 19 actually.
So the better part of your adolescence was in Burbank.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then my dad's always lived there. But not, I mean, like he's
so what kind of trouble would you get into in Burbank?
Dude, that's the thing is actually Burbank is, it's not weed friendly and it should be because there's a bunch of people that smoke it there. And not only is there a large like amount of people that smoke weed in Burbank still, but it probably adds to why it's such a like pretty clean place. Like it's really clean there and like lovely. Like the cops are a pain in the ass, but the actual like city of Burbank, like it's nice. Like they try to keep it up, and it's like it's because fucking stoners aren't trying to like fuck up a city. Let them be stoned. Like that's why nobody's like spray painting all. I mean, there's some shit that goes on there, but I don't know. I feel like that place is so like. It's so nice, but the police force makes it because they have their own PD. So it's like, I mean, for the most part, I never got into serious trouble like in high school or anything, but pretty much everyone I know did. And it would always be for stupid reasons. And then it would always be the biggest fine or the worst, you know, like punishment they could give a minor or whatever. But yeah, I actually pretty thankful that I didn't have any fucking discretions as a minor there, because I've been to that court and it's pretty awful. Actually, there's no court that's awful or that's wonderful. But so yeah, if you guys can't tell, I'm stone and I'm the only one here. You should probably call me if you're listening and you feel like it. It's 800-893-9562. When Mary starts like waxing poetic about not being busted in Burbank as a teenager, it's time for somebody to entertain me. And, yeah, actually, I also want to give another little belated birthday to Mindy, because she did have her birthday while she was rapping and rocking and fucking shit up in her hometown of Sioux City. But our last show, we said happy birthday to her early. I figured this show will say happy birthday, Mindy, a few days late. That way, everybody that hasn't done it already better say it to her, because that's a week long time. That's when you get your birthdays in. So, yeah. I can honestly tell you that I wouldn't know what to talk about except for the fact that I think I have like an ADD brain when it comes to it not being quiet for a second. So I'm like, it's funny because I'm used to two other females in here that I'm friends with, and I don't really have a whole lot of chick friends, but even if I did, there are only so many that are like fun and easy to talk to. And so like, you know, riffing back and forth with these two, it makes the show less quiet, but it's quiet now. That's for sure. If anybody can hear it in my voice, it's like I before I was just missing the one limb. Now it's two. I feel like if I was missing my legs and someone was licking the stumps, I could feel my legs still. So, Cassie and Mindy, you guys are like, I could feel it if somebody was licking my stumps if I was missing my legs. That's how much I care about you. Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about King Eddie's the other night. What happened?
What did happen, to be honest with you? I know that I had to leave because I couldn't stand at one point. Like, I was just so just like, I can't even describe, like...
Apparently, I did a bunch of shit that night that I don't remember. I went to Denny's, and I don't remember that.
You sick bastard.
Yeah.
No, actually, I think I was day drinking, too, so by the time we were at King Eddie's, like, I had a friend show up that kind of noticed. He's like, do you want to maybe, like, hang out and then, like, go home? Like, I'll take you home. And I was like, yeah, I probably should. Because it was going to become to the point where, like, I felt like... Like, at one point, I felt like sitting down outside. And that's when he was like, no, nobody's sitting down anywhere except for at home.
So I send Keith Coogan a picture of your sister with him in the bar.
Uh-huh.
And he writes back, oh, I like that picture. She's a good kisser. And right away, I'm like... Wow, did Nicole make out with Keith? That's cool, I guess.
Well,
but I didn't remember that happening. So
I like kind of laughed with her about it, and she's like, I think I'd remember that. I was like, I think I'd remember that. Like the way that the night went, like, is because it started out so bizarre at the convention, and we like drove and listened to that tape, like me, you, and Gina and Nicole. That got me into a sillier mood, and then just having drinks. And like smoking and everything's like when I smoke weed and drink whiskey together and I like have like a maintain the whole day of just being on this level, like the minute that I start trying to smoke too much weed or like decide that like now it's time to have beers or some stupid shit or like completely change it up, then all of a sudden I'm in like the danger zone where it's like fucking Mary wants to sit down. Like, yeah, she's gonna be sleepy. So yeah, like it was fun, but it was fucking like, I remember like, I can't remember who I asked, but I asked somebody if I could scream into their face or like scream at them. I can't even, I remember screaming in somebody's face, like, I can't do it on the air, but like as loud as I could, but I can't remember who, it might have even been you.
I don't think you did that.
Yeah, I don't know.
So. Keith thought it was your sister that he was making out with, but it turned out to be my other friend, Diana.
Oh, and, Keith, do they look alike?
No.
Way to go, Keith. Good eye, fucking eagle eye. He's just like, yeah, I'm one of them. That's awesome.
And I told him, you know, hey, that wasn't the chick you made out with in that picture. He's like, that happens all the time, he says. And
that's,
I just thought
great.
It was funny.
That happens all the time.
Keith Coogan, call sheet, Saturday, 8 to 9.
Yeah. He's got a little show. You guys can call him and ask him how often it happens. It's pretty great. I do say so myself. I can't say that for sure. I was going to say that I've like always remembered the person that I've made out with drunkenly. I'm pretty sure I have.
Are you sure?
I mean...
Come on, there's a time where...
There's a time where you wake up and, yeah, you're like, wait a minute. Like, these balls aren't supposed to be in my face. But, like, honestly, making out and, like... Okay, so do you feel like you remember everybody that you've slept with or just everybody that you've made out with? Or you know that there's some that you don't remember?
Okay, I've never woken up and been like wondering what I did with this person.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that's, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What did I do? You know, I know what I've done usually. I don't, I think.
I know what I've done. And her name was Sally Sue. Yeah, no, I think, I remember one time being really, really surprised that I hooked up with one of my female friends.
Yeah.
just because, like, I was in a, like, you know, in the, you know, the next morning when you're
hook up as in,
well, I don't think we didn't fuck, but we definitely like made out and we're getting like hot and heavy. Like, I think that like we would have probably.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. I barely remember doing it, unfortunately. I mean, you want to remember like the cool things like that. Like,
yeah.
You don't want to remember if you like shit the bed or something. But, yeah. Like, but if you have a chance to remember like hooking up with like one of your like pretty friends, that's never a bad thing. But the fact that I didn't remember, the next morning I was kind of just in like a drunken, giggly mood, like as I was waking up, and was like kind of being like too nice to her and didn't realize it. And she, like, it made her uncomfortable because she didn't know how much I remembered, and she like didn't, she didn't either, but like, I don't know. Like, I woke up with like my clothes were all on except my bra was off and like across the room, but my shirt had like, my shirt and my sweatshirt were back on. So like, we definitely like got dressed or like freaked out or did whatever we did. But like, so she, I think she knew from that. And like, I knew cause I was like, oh yeah, I guess. Oh, that's right.
Did so, you talk yeah. about it then?
Huh?
Did you talk about it with her? Or?
No, we kind of just did a thing where, I mean, girls are weird. Like not all females are interested or comfortable with any kind of like fluid sexuality. Like, women are just more fluid with our sexuality. Like, we're not supposed to, I mean, we're givers or nurturers or whatever. I just feel like more women are more comfortable like moving through that, like with another woman, like making out with and like sleeping with women. But some women, they just haven't even thought about it or explored it, or they think it's wrong, or they're like wired a certain way or brought up a certain way. And I think she's kind of like that, like to where, like, I think it was something that like she didn't want to talk about because she was like afraid of what it made, what it like said about her, even though it really doesn't say anything about you. I mean, not like I'm advising everybody to get really wasted and like make out with all your friends, but I don't know. I mean,
like, it always worked for you, right?
They're your friends. I mean, you shouldn't be making out with all your friends, but worse things could happen is what I'm trying to say. Like, if you're not attached and it's consensual and everything, I mean, you know, do what you feel like doing, but yeah, like, I think it was more like we couldn't talk about it. But I come off as a pervert enough in my own way that I think, you know, it's like you don't want to over-perv somebody if they don't want to be perved. Or at least I guess that's what I don't know. I tend to over-perv, and then there's no taking back the over-perv. Although I was telling Carlos, I did have a complete, like, little meltdown, like a mystery solving mission or session. Somebody sent me a dick pic, but they sent it with other people's, like they sent it as a group, like a couple different phone numbers, because I kept getting a
group dick pic. Wow.
Group motherfucking dick pic. And I'm so like, I'm almost like so proud that I got one, because it's like,
you were on the list.
You're on the list. You put together a little dick pic list, and like, hey, thanks for sending it my way. Like, you know, like, everybody likes to see that. But the only reason I could tell was because there kept being texts sent back that were like from other numbers, but like with his number attached to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
to where it's like
they were responding to it.
They were responding to it, but I was getting the responses. And so like, I already hadn't said anything because I was already trying to work out, like, I don't know, there's something about, like, if a girl sends you a picture of like her pussy or her tits or anything, like, you're more like, it's like, you're like, all right. But like, when you just send a picture of your dick, like, I am such a weirdo that like I immediately start laughing, being like, they probably had to fluff this. Like, they had to fluff it before they, like,
that's what you think about the preparation.
Yeah, because it, like,
dick
like
preparation.
Because especially if they have like if they pose, like, or like not pose, but like they have to move a certain way to get the picture. And so like, I'm too much of a fucking 12-year-old dork in my head that like I immediately am like, they had to be like, oh, get it ready for the party, and like.
Wow.
Yeah. And so for me, it's already like, I'm already trying to like be mature about it, or try to be like, oh yeah, that fucking, I want that in my mouth, or like come up with something awesome to say. Instead, I'm just seeing all of these other, I'm guessing females, sending like
what
responses
saying,
back
though?
Like,
like nice fucking, dick or what?
One said something about like wanting to hop on or damn. I don't know, like hopping on it or like get up on it or I don't know, something about wanting to do that.
This guy's dick is so good he can send out a group. He's like, I'm going to save some time. I'm not going to do individual dick pics. Why do that?
You girls are all going to get one. And then at the end of the day, like it's like Bachelor, but with dicks. Like, wow. Yeah, like one of you will be chosen. So,
wow.
Yeah. It's better than a group dick slap. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't want like, I don't know, to get put in a lineup with a bunch of chicks and then had a dude like take his, like a gauntlet and just be like, you wouldn't want to be a part of that.
No, not a lineup I'd want to be in.
Not me either. But the group dick pic I could get on board with only because, I mean, you know, it takes a lot of work to get all, you know, I don't know.
So you haven't figured out whose dick it is?
Oh, no, I know whose it is. I don't know the other numbers.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But yeah, no, that's why it's so entertaining to me. And also, it was... Either he was in the brightest bathroom, like with the most neon as fuck lights above him in the bathroom, or in like a warehouse or something. I'm pretty sure it was daylight when he took it, and when I got it, it was like way late at night. So like that means that like he's just either recycling a dick pic, or he took it way earlier in the day, and then like as an afterthought was like, let's see what I got in store like for these guys. But yeah, I don't know. I'm still, my phone doesn't take very good selfies, so I don't really like taking like pictures of myself like all sexy time because it's usually blurry and it doesn't ever work out. I am envious of like the chicks that somehow figure out a way to contort their entire bodies and like have it aimed really high towards just their eyeballs so you can't tell what kind of body type they have. And I know why they're doing it. It's because they're actually what we're going to do is we're going to go for a break. I'm going to go take a bunch of selfies and then I'll see you guys in a little while. Baby needs a smoke break. Skid Row
Studios, anytime, anywhere with the Skid Row iPhone app for your smartphone.
Skid Row Studios.
Real internet radio.
Tune into The Love Bite, where all your kinky desires come true. Sundays, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time at skidrowstudios.com.
For every nerdy subject you want to talk about, Star Wars, Star Trek, fucking Knight Rider, we'll do it. Wait, can we swear in these?
Do whatever you want.
Angry Dorks Podcast. It's the Angry Dorks Show. You can listen live and comment along with us. You can be part of the show. It's Mondays, every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And also, you can call in. You can actually call us. You can be on the show, your beautiful voice, and roll a D20 for fun. Resounding in the ears of 10,000 dorks. Is that 30, true?
He said
no,
30 seconds.
We have 700.
It's like Clint Eastwood. They're just going to say, okay, go ahead.
Clint Eastwood.
He doesn't say action.
Yeah, he says, fuck you to a chair.
We're like the 700
shit together, man.
Blackwood Chess Club.
You're rated everything but this. Get your shit together.
Some kind of Filipino drugs. All right, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You're going last. Does Lupia have speed in it?
Up next, we've got Judy. Judy coming to the stage.
Only just begun. I got all sorts of new dark shit for you, my man.
You ever dance with the devil in the moonlight?
I don't know what my attitude is. I'm trying to work on it all the time, you know. I'm drinking water tonight. That's pretty amazing. Water. It's really weird how your life changes. You know what I mean? Water. 4 years ago, opium. Isn't that weird? I mean, really. It's night and day. Night and fucking day. Some of y'all may remember me as a drinker. I was a weekend drinker. You know, I'd start on Saturday, end on Friday. And thought I was controlling it there. But I don't drink anymore. I don't do drugs anymore either than, I'd say, the average touring funk band. If I had to add it up. I don't do drugs anymore either. But I'll tell you something about drugs. I used to do drugs, but I'll tell you something honestly about drugs, honestly, and I know it's not a very popular idea. You don't hear it very often anymore, but it is the truth. I had a great time doing drugs. Sorry. Never murdered anyone, never robbed anyone, never raped anyone, never beat anyone, never lost a job, a car, a house, a wife, or kids, laughed my ass off, and went about my day. Sorry. Now, where's my commercial? Why don't I get a commercial? Why is it always that other guy that gets the commercial? I lost my job, then my house, then my wife, then my car, then my kids. Don't do drugs. Well, I'm definitely not doing them with you. Fuck! Man, you're bumming me out. Get him out of here. Who invited Mr. Doom over? Get that guy out of here. The guy by the dip. He's bumming everyone out. He hadn't stopped talking. I wish he'd lose his fucking voice. I mean, I've lost my car before, okay. Found it the next day, you know, no biggie. I don't think that warranted a commercial. I lost my car and, oh, there it is by that dumpster. Forget it, see you tomorrow. You know, I've lost stuff, I'm not saying that. I knew we were in trouble in that damn egg commercial, that guy. I knew that was the government's take on drugs. You know, we're fucked, believe me. Here's your brain. I've seen a lot of weird shit on drugs. I've never, ever, 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 ever looked at an egg and thought it was a fucking brain. Not once, all right? I have seen UFOs split the sky like a sheet, but I have never, ever, ever looked at an egg and thought it was a fucking brain. Not once. I have had seven balls of light come off of a UFO, lead me onto their ship, explain to me telepathically that we are all one and there is no such thing as death, but I have never, ever, ever, ever looked at an egg, thought it was a fucking brain. Now, maybe I wasn't getting good shit. I admit it, I see that commercial, I feel cheated. Hey, where's the stuff that makes eggs look like brains? That sounds neat. Did I quit too soon? What is that, CIA stash? You see the guy in that commercial? Guy's got a beer gut. All right, this is it. Look up, man. This is your brain. I ain't doing this again. That's your brain. The guy's drunk doing the fucking commercial, man. Here's your brain. That's an egg. That's a frying pan. That's a stove. You're an alcoholic. Dude, I'm tripping right now. And I still see that as a fucking egg, all right? I see the UFOs around it, but that is a goddamn egg in the middle. There's a hobbit eating it, but goddammit, that hobbit is eating a fucking egg. He's on a unicorn, but that's a fucking egg, yeah. How dare you have a wino tell me not to do drugs? Why did I quit? Because after you've been taken aboard a UFO, it's kind of hard to top that, all right? You know, they have Alcoholics Anonymous. They don't have Alien Anonymous. Tell you what, though, going to AA meetings, which I have to do, but going there and hearing people talk about their fucking booze stories, you know, I'm sitting there. You know, I love the taste of gin. It's just so good. Fuck you, I've been on a UFO. Fuck off! I went drinking with aliens, you fucker! Shut up! I lost my wife. I lost an alien culture who wanted to take me to the planet Arcturus. Fuck you. mean, I don't know if I've gotten the resentment, you know, forgiveness part down in the program, but one day at a time. Oh, I just cannot, you know, believe in a war against drugs when they have anti-drug commercials on TV all day long, followed by "This Bud's for You." I got news for you, folks. A1, alcohol is a drug. B2, and here's the rub, alcohol kills more people than crack, coke, and heroin combined each year. So, thanks for inviting me to your little alcoholic drug den here tonight. You fine, upstanding citizens, you. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Now, you know why? If I was going to have a drug be legal, it would not be alcohol. You know why? There's better drugs and better drugs for you. That's a fact. So you can stop your internal dialogue. Well, wait a minute, Bill. Alcohol is an acceptable form of social interaction, which for thousands of years has been the norm under which human beings have congregated and formed socialist grids, and they would congregate. Shut the fuck up. Your denial is beneath you, and thanks to the use of hallucinogenic drugs, I see through you. Pot is a better drug than alcohol. Fact, and I'll prove it to you. You're at a ball game, you're at a concert, someone's really violent, aggressive, and obnoxious. Are they drunk or are they smoking pot? The one and only correct answer. Tell them what they want, Johnny. I have never seen people on pot get in a fight because it is fucking impossible. Hey, buddy. Hey, what? End of argument. Say you get in a car accident and you've been smoking pot. You're only going 4 miles an hour. Shit, we hit something. Forgot to open the garage door, man. Gotta get the garage door open so Domino's knows we're home. But I'll tell you the truth. I have never heard one reason that rang true why marijuana is against the law. That rang true now. I'm not talking about the reasons the government tells us, because I hope you know this. I think you do. All governments are lying cocksuckers. Yeah! I hope you know that. Good. I mean, marijuana grows everywhere, serves 1,000 different functions, all of them positive. To make marijuana against the law is like saying God made a mistake. You know what I mean? It's like God on the seventh day looked down at his creation, said, "There it is, my creation, perfect and holy in all ways. Now I can rest." Oh, my me. I left fucking pot everywhere. I should never have smoked that joint on the third day. If I leave pot everywhere, that's going to give people the impression they're supposed to use it. Shit. Now I have to create Republicans. So you see, it's a vicious cycle. And I'm not promoting the use of drugs, believe me. I'm not. I've had bad times on drugs, okay? I mean, look at this haircut. Fuck! Tell you, I live in New York now, man. I tell you, man, the war on drugs has definitely taken a ceasefire there. I mean, it's incredible. They sell drugs out loud on the streets. Heroin, 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 coke, 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 smoke, smoke. Heroin, heroin. Those guys bug the shit out of me. So I'm walking down the street one day. This guy's walking ahead of me, passes one of those dealers. He looks at him. He goes, "Heroin, heroin, heroin." I pass him. He looked at me. He goes, "Glue." I can afford heroin, you fucker. I'm doing laundry right now. As soon as my shirt's out of the cleaners, I'm coming back and buying some of that shit from you. He embarrassed me to death, all right? I was mortified. Glue. Fucker. Where's a bank machine? Come here. Come here, Mr. Dealer. Come here. I'm going to show you my balance. Then I'm going to buy heroin from that little kid across the street. Fuck you. New York's a rather tense town.
Hey, we are Awkward Conversations. Check us out on SkidRowStudios.com live every Saturday from noon to 1 Pacific Standard Time.
And you can call in 1-800-893-9562.
It's about to get awkward up in here.
Like that time that your dad confronted you.
Oh, yeah. I said, Daddy, I don't like that very much. He said, do it.
Hey, everybody, this is Sal Rodriguez.
And Chris Z of Registered Ear Offenders.
Be sure to call in live every Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time.
Or 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right here on
SkidRowStudios.com.
Please be first. Ladies in the line saying me first. And keeping condoms in their purse. I'm the worst when it comes to talking dirty like a jerk. But I told you how I squirt. It all comes with the worst.
The boys love my thick-ass Cuban thighs. Yep. Crispy horse eyes.
You are listening to Skid Row Studios.
You're 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 listening to Skid Row Studios.
Skid Row Studios.
We're listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe. Okay.
All right, so please listen to Skid Row Studios. If you're listening to that, then you are already listening, so you're already our best friend. This is still the hot box. It's still just a little Mary here. I miss my ladies. So if you are listening and you want to give me a call here and talk about, we could talk about dick pics, we could talk about, I don't know.
You have a listener from New Zealand right now.
Do we?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Wait a second. Okay, so if we have a listener from New Zealand, then what I really want to know is, how's New Zealand?
1-800-893-9562.
Yeah, New Zealand, if you're out there, 1-800-893-9562. Let's talk about, I mean, if you're listening to the Hot Box, let's definitely talk about some Hot Box issues. I mean, I wish I was smoking right now. You know, you can't always smoke the ganj when you want to. And hopefully one day that's going to change. So if anybody out there has any beliefs that one day soon we'll all just be able to join hands and smoke a huge bowl together and, you know, drink Pepsi and be in a field of daisies, it would make me incredibly happy. I mean, that's why I do it. That's why I'm here for, you know, the Hot Box. And basically I'm here to horrify you. I am also here to get educated and also hopefully educate others on different subjects. One of them being my love for weed. That's one thing about me and Mindy and Cassie's chemistry is that we balance each other out. Like we're really like the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like Mindy's good at everything she does. Cassie's a badass bitch. And I'm going to talk about some ugly shit. And we all have that in common. We also have sweet Mary Jane in common too. So yeah. If you are listening in right now at this moment, basically, what that says to me is that you like talk radio. I'm getting around to the talk radio thing, like listening to different podcasts. But
who are you listening to?
I like Marc Maron a lot. And then one of my coworkers was doing a show called Sancho Radio that I really like listening to. And then right now, those are the only two that I can think of that, like in the last little bit that I've been listening to. And obviously, our show, which kind of makes me kind of egotistical that I listen to the episodes that we've had so far, like at work and stuff. Like I download them after they've been put on the air. But really what that is that, I mean, we've had guests and, you know, we usually play some music at least. And like, the girls always crack me up too. That's why I like hanging out with them at least once a week. If I lived closer, we'd probably hang out a lot more, but I'm stuck out there in Northridge and, It's just fucking far. Even now that I have a car, still so far from, I mean, they both live in like Koreatown pretty much. And then the studio is here in downtown LA by Pershing Square. So I love making the pilgrimage, and I'm so glad that I have a car now, even though, you know, everybody should be going green and being on bicycles. I do have a bike too. It's just, you know, after the radio show, Tuesday nights is when I like to let loose. I like to go to King Eddie's. I wish it was going to be there for longer, but actually it's in its final days. The 16th is it the 16th that's the last final day, Jeremy?
16th is the official last day, but 16th. I just got word that we will be broadcasting live from King Eddie's on December 15th.
On the 15th?
Yeah, 15th, Saturday night. King Eddie's is going to be auctioning off all their memorabilia off the walls and all their junk.
Motherfucker.
And pretty much drinks are going to be next to free just because they have to get rid of them.
They have to get rid of everything. Yeah. Oh, my God. And they're going to be auctioning off the shit in there?
Yeah.
What? Even if I don't get anything, I just want to know, like who gets what.
Exactly. Like, and that's why I wanted to do that night. And we're gonna take the remote broadcast set up there and...
Dude, and if we do that too, then I can actually go and not have to go to work in the morning. Like,
that would be great.
Because Saturday is the only night that I have off. Like, if the 16th was like the final day and you guys were broadcasting, then I couldn't go because I'd have to be at work in the morning. I mean, yeah. I could go, but I wouldn't be able to like go.
we're gonna.
That's awesome. I hope pancakes
go,
there.
Go fucking crazy on that place.
I actually have to fucking fix some.
Buy
stuff.
Some black tar heroin.
Yeah, it's gonna be a night to remember. I'm gonna do an eighth of shrooms and. You know what? I was at the Orpheum and I saw Alice Cooper on Thursday at the Orpheum, and I've never been in that theater before ever.
It's amazing.
It's gorgeous. It's so gorgeous. And all I kept thinking was, I would just want to sit here because it's so beautiful and like take like an eighth of shrooms to the dome and just like look at everything, because the chandeliers, the beautiful like crown molding, like gorgeous, you know, like ornate ceilings and walls, and they still have the drapery. Like, they've kept that place up pretty well. I mean, they've restored it pretty well.
It's one of the theaters
pretty.
Down on Broadway that they've maintained throughout the years. They're trying to bring the others back right now. The Los Angeles Theater is also amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the inside of the Los Angeles Theater is a big poster of Charlie Chaplin and Albert Einstein doing the ribbon cutting ceremony at that theater.
Wow. Yeah.
Think of that history. That's God,
imagine what a sick ass and terrifying Eiffel Tower that would be in between Charlie Chaplin and Albert Einstein.
That's crazy.
You think they'd high five or they would fist bump? Like,
I would say Albert Einstein's more of a high fiver.
Yeah, especially when he's getting dome, because I feel like that's where he'd be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because Charlie Chaplin's probably going to be holding it down, you know. Starboard, or I don't even actually know. I don't know my boat jargon at all. Whatever side starboard is, that seems more like where Charlie Chaplin would be holding it down during the Eiffel Tower. You know, I don't think about that often. I think it's because I pictured like Albert Einstein and Charlie Chaplin cutting a ribbon and just being like, what's like the most horrific thing you could like put in between them? Like, an old French whore. That's where I went with it, but I don't know. I used to do that to my brother a lot when we were younger. I used to try to my hardest to gross him out, and it was really easy to do because he's really shy and or he used to be shy, and he's just not. I'm the oldest one, so like I would always not tease him, but I would always like try to mess with him, get him out of his shell. And so we'd go to like vacation with our family, and I'd just point out the oldest couple I saw and just be completely graphic and horrific, like, but quiet, like in a quiet voice, like, oh, Tommy, like, yeah, I can bet you there's so many diapers just all around their bed and they don't even care. And they do it in the diapers and like trying to like find like ways to like crack him. But like talking in that like church, you know, low voice to where, everybody's just seeing him lose it. They don't understand that it's like his mean big sister that's basically being like horrendous and graphic about people that look like, you know, Ma and Pa Kettle or whatever. Or I don't know. I don't know, you guys. I had a long day at the office. I actually don't ever have long days at the office, but I do work long hours. It's just kind of it's the kind of job where I have a lot of stuff that I have to do. And
you just got a promotion.
And I just got a little baby promotion. Cool. Yeah. Got more responsibility, but in a good way. And I think it's going to make me just be able to do more things with the job faster, and I won't have to like hunt down different people I work with. So it's cool. I've been there for 2 years and I'm stoked. I'm stoked that I get to work somewhere that's really close to my house and just with a bunch of good people. I don't have any annoying coworkers, and this is probably the first job that I haven't had annoying coworkers. Like, I've had the kind of coworkers that will tell you that they shit their pants and they have to go home, and you're wondering why on earth they can't just get the fuck away from you and like leave, like why you need to know that information. I used to have a coworker that would go into like graphic detail with all of us about all of her, you know, problems with trying to get pregnant. And I do feel for women and men that are trying to have a family and they run into struggles, but it like goes into too much information when you're talking about, you know, your T-shaped uterus and your, you know, inverted fallopian tube or whatever with coworkers, because usually coworkers have a policy where even if you guys are kind of friends at work, you star in a show called Shit They Don't Care About because they're just trying to work. Yep. And like, I've even done it to my coworkers, because obviously you guys, I talk a lot. But I know when to shut up now. I've gotten older to where I think it was working at the head shop I worked at, because I worked with some like younger chicks and like, you know, dudes that were trying to be all hard and talk about a bunch of roughneck shit that no one cares about or believes that they really did. And so that's when I started to realize, okay, yeah, no, there's a time and a place for, you know, you trying to like basically, I don't know, be the star of the show. Not saying I don't do it, because I do it a lot. I talk a fucking lot. And I don't always, it's not always something necessarily interesting to say, but I don't like silences. That's why I felt like I could still do the show tonight, because I wouldn't have a lot of dead air in between my words.
Hey, so something we didn't talk about.
What didn't we talk about?
The Felch song.
Oh, God. You guys are going to get ready for the Felch song. I even looked up Felch song the other day, like when I posted that thing about how it's going to be worldwide.
Right.
I wrote a Felch song in just the lyrics. I mean, I'm not a musician in any way, but in one take, like one improvised take of me singing the Felch song. And it's on a recording. It's on a tape, like a cassette tape with a bunch of other shit that me and my family have done in the past. And even when you look up Felch song, there's a few, like there's a song, like a metal song called Felching Vampires, which makes me happy.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But none of them have the earnest tenderness and the education and the humor and whimsy that the Felch song that I wrote has. What we're going to try to do is get like a tape deck and have Jeremy get it onto the computer or onto a CD, because it's not the only one. There's a couple of things on there that are pretty terrific. And basically you can chalk it up to being stoned, for one. I don't know about a lot of you, but I'm sometimes I sometimes get different forms of creativity when I'm blazing. So that definitely plays a part. And then just being bored, like summer nights where you don't have like a fucking thing to do. You don't really have any money. You get like a, you know, bottle of King Cobra and like you're just in like a weird, silly, like freak bitch mood. And then you just start like, you know, improvising and stuff. Like, whenever I'm like wasted enough, I usually am a pretty good freestyler, but it's probably because I'm wasted. I've learned that just because you think that you performed something or did something like and it was fucking hilarious, sometimes it could be the worst, like just the worst thing in the world. Like I thought it was funny that I got kicked out of a bowling alley one time. It's Pins on Ventura, and I thought it was funny, but then the more I started thinking about it the next day, like what I was doing wrong, I started realizing that I was a total, complete douchebag, but I can't take it back. So, I mean, I still think it's funny, but I do know that if I was, basically I was so drunk by the time I got to the Pins, and this was like 5 or 6 years ago. So, I mean, clearly I've cleaned up my act a little bit, but I was like throwing bowling balls down other people's lanes while their balls were rolling towards the Pins. I walked onto somebody's lane while they were trying to bowl. and then slipped because the lanes are actually kind of slick a little bit. Kind of. I mean, they're not like fucking, you know, like snail trail slick, but they're slick. They're slick. So I slipped and then I like refused to get up or I was being difficult. And so like a security guard had to like walk along the bumper thing to like come and get me. And then they told me I could never come back to pins. I think what they said was that I can never return to pins again, which I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of bowling alleys in the Valley and in LA, and there's a really fun one in Koreatown. So, I mean, if I can never go there again, it's not the worst thing in the world, but I definitely know that if I was like a serious bowler, because it was like league night when I was doing this, it's like a Thursday night or something. I do know that if I was like a serious bowler and I was trying to win and actually have a game and some dumb bitch was like ruining it with her life, then I'd be pretty mad too. But I'm pretty sure none of those people are listening, or they might even be dead. This was 6 years ago, and that was a bowling league on a Thursday night in at Pins. So it was pretty geriatric in there. That might be why too. I feel bad because I ruffled the feathers of the elderly, which you should never do because they don't fucking deserve it. And they've been on this planet forever. I mean, like, they deserve peace. It's just sometimes you forget that you don't want to give anybody peace ever. Or at least I didn't when I was that age being that ridiculous. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's okay if you're a dumb, as long as you gain some knowledge. I still do some pretty stupid shit not regularly anymore. I mean, you know, you got to clean up your act. You got to get your act together. But you can still blaze and be a productive member of society and not get kicked out of bowling alleys and be hated on at conventions and still manage to have a pretty good night. If you have that exact same weekend sometime soon, you really need to let us know because I would like to hear somebody else's experiences doing exactly what I just said if you were listening and you were taking notes. So I'm guessing, because we always do this thing where every week we kind of just play it by ear as far as who's going to be our guest, I'm just going to chalk it up to mystery guest next week. But definitely both of the girls will be back. I'm thinking that we should be hearing a lot about Mindy's adventures in Iowa. She was just in Sioux City where she's from. And Mindy's a drummer. She's probably like the most insane drummer ever. And it doesn't hurt that she's really, really cool and smart and funny and just fucking perfect, wonderful lady. She's in a bunch of bands, so when she went back, she played. Oh yeah, If you guys want to hear a little bit of a, let's see, what do we call it? An amuse-bouche of the show that's going to be on in a few minutes. It's a fair question with Vic Cohen. Yeah, we got Vic Cohen in here. He's going to be on in just a little bit, but am I high? This is the Hot Box. Basically, what I try to do is get high as often as I can when I'm not working and being productive in society.
Really? That's, and how often are you productive in society?
I work 9 to 5. For those of you who don't know, this is Vic Cohen.
That's right.
Yes, his show is going to be on in just a minute.
Oh, and by the way, I do want to let you know that coming up, I have a bodyguard to the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And he is also quite a, he does citizens arrests and that kind of thing. And when I told him what the subject of this show was, he got very stirred. He got very concerned.
All right.
About what goes on at the Hot Box. And I'm not trying to scare you or anything, but I only see one way out and it's by him.
Yeah. And he's got his camera out. He's rocking and rolling. Look at him. Oh no!
I'm not kidding. This guy's packing heat.
see, Vic, Mary's very paranoid. So when you tell her that kind of stuff, she's actually really scared.
No, I thought one of our guests was a DEA agent.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah,
it would have been great if you were.
It was actually a she, which I mean,
and she was handing us piles of weed,
handing us piles of it, and treats.
And Mary thought for sure something was fishy.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
I don't want to scare you, but he is friendly. It's like a dog, to friend. You know, he's nice. He doesn't bite, but he is a former officer.
All right.
And I did tell him about the Hot Box.
It's a good show.
Actually, what's funny is I said to him, are you going to have a, it's a great show. And I said to him, are you, your show's great. I was telling him, you know, there's going to be the smell of pot in the room possibly. Are you okay with that? Because I wanted, I need to warn the guests before.
It's true.
And he said, oh, I'm fine with the smell of pot. In the police academy, they burned it for us so we would know what it smelled like.
Oh, I bet they burned it for you. It'd be cool if they just burned it up while you were like, see, this is what it looks like too, is that it's going to be me smoking and you sniffing so that you'll know.
Well, I just love the idea that these guys are so naive, like they've never smelled pot. You know, they're just such virgins. They're so perfect, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely more of one of those things where it's like, if you've never smelled it, like I think my stepmom had never smelled it because she used to, when I was growing up, she used to always think that cigarette smoke was pot, or that some other smell that she was smelling, like too much incense or something, she would assume that that's what pot was, but really it was like, no, that's actually, if it's anything, it's just covering it up.
I mean, my parents were like that. Incense equaled pot for some
reason. No, and even my dad, he even said when, because she didn't like the smell so much, he even told me once, he's like, she thinks it makes it smell like a low-life house. Like, the smell of Nag Champa is for losers that smoke too much weed.
I love the smell of incense.
I love the smell of incense, too. It makes everything, it even makes my dog smell like incense.
It's lovely. It's better, in my place, it's either the smell of dirty clothes or incense. So I go with incense.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
There's something else I wanted to ask you about getting high. How long does marijuana last?
Like last when you're, you mean like
can it last a year in a little medicinal container and still be good?
Oh, it could, but I mean, that's going to be some stale.
Actually, the shelf life of a marijuana is similar to that of a cigar. So if you have it properly humidified.
Oh, okay. That's a good answer. And the other question I had, thank you. Is there more to this answer? Because I want to get one in because I know your show's wrapping up soon. I understand that marijuana can help one's sex life. It can add a little bit of zest. Now, what about with yourself?
Oh, you mean like if you're just, I mean,
pleasuring myself.
Usually people that like when you get home from work, if you plan on blazing, you're also probably going to try to like rub one out too.
That's a guarantee.
For most people. I mean, it is for me. I mean, I don't go around asking all of my friends and family, like who's smoking right before they're, you know, jerking it. But it makes it better. I mean, you're getting off work. You're gonna do a lot of things. You're gonna drop a deuce. You're gonna have a beer. You're gonna walk your dog.
Let's drop a douche.
Drop a deuce. Oh, you don't drop douches. I mean, you could, I guess. But no, I meant like go number two. You know.
Oh, okay, got it.
Relieve yourself.
Right, I got it.
Yeah, you know, just drop a deuce. It's a thing.
The number two.
It's what the kids are saying. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I smell marijuana, I actually start to get aroused.
Really. Well, usually, I mean, one good thing is that a lot of time when you're smoking, you know, if you are with someone else, it does make it cozier and more fun. But if you just smell it certain places, like at strip clubs or like, you know, at the beach or something, usually you're being visually stimulated too. So maybe like every time you go to Venice and you see like some, you know, little young breezy skating by in her bikini, now you have like, you registered that as like, you smell weed and your dick goes up.
Really? Because mine just goes up.
It just goes up. That's
I don't
good.
Have to even smell anything, actually. To
well,
be
I don't
honest.
Think I don't think me, most men have to smell anything to get yeah. But maybe, I mean, I don't know. I think
so you're high right now, right?
I'm high right now. I'm always high.
Okay.
Like I said, when I'm not contributing to society.
when there was some audio playing and you were heading out, was that a little... Were you getting high during the show?
Well, I was smoking down there. I usually don't get as long of a smoke break. I mean...
Well, the reason I'm going to where I'm really going with this is I was wondering if you rubbed one out in the parking lot. Because you said usually...
Well, I did have Carlos and Jeremy with me. So, you know how were you talking about Eiffel Towers earlier? That's what went down, actually.
Really?
So, yeah, I don't need to rub one out in the alley in downtown when I got two strapping young lads with me to help me out.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And they are strapping.
Yeah.
And they're somewhat young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're young.
Well, good.
They're young. We have fun.
This is good. You're talking about doing it all by yourself. You're doing the whole show today yourself. Tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes. Speaking of rubbing one out, I just rubbed out this episode by myself.
Nice. How did it feel?
It felt great.
I was happy I could watch.
Yeah. I'm gonna smoke a lot more cigarettes. I'm about to go down and chain smoke and smoke some bowls and just feel lovely again. And then, yeah. And then see where the night takes me, just as always.
Well, thank you for having me at the tail end of the show. It's fun talking with you.
It's fun to talking with you, too. And everybody out there, we'll see you next week, and we miss you already.
The musicians today who don't do drugs and in fact speak out against it, we're rock against drugs. Boy, they suck. Suck. Ballless, soulless, spiritless, corporate little bitches, suckers of Satan's cock, each and every one of them. Sucking Satan's pecker. Suck it. Put that big scaly pecker down your gullet. We're rock against drugs because that's what George Bush wants. That's what we want, isn't it? Government approved rock and roll. Don't you want to be at a concert one night, look to your right and see Dan fucking Quayle right next to you, man? You know you're partying then. You know you're on the edge. Fuck it. The Quayle monster's here. There ain't no coming back. We might be up till 11 tonight. Fuck this. We're rock stars who do Pepsi Cola commercials. Luckily, Satan's dick has many heads, so all these little demon piglets can nuzzle up and suckle all at once. Here comes a fella named Vanilla Ice. Here comes MC Hammer. Here's Madonna with two heads. Sucking Satan's pecker. Suck it. It's only your dignity. Suck it. It's only your dignity. Suck it. MC Hammer. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Hammer. He dropped the MC. I can't wait till he drops the hammer, too. How about this? Drop it all. Good.